If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
You've been listening to the Grey Boy All-Stars cover of Got to Get Me a Job, originally performed by Don Alford. The tune is part of Get a Job, music from the original broadcast series Soul Dream. Back in the summer of 2021, the Grey Boy All-Stars decided to create a four-part series of live music they made available via stream on Nugs.net, Soul Dream. On April 1st, they're releasing Get a Job, music from the original broadcast series Soul Dream, a 10-song set of some of the tunes they performed for that live event. The record specifically features covers which have all been part of the quintet's live repertoire, but never before available on any official release. I caught up with guitar whiz Elgin Park to talk about the Soul Dream project, and of course the Get a Job compilation, plus much more. Thanks for taking the time, man. Really appreciate it. You know, this project's sort of been in the works for a while because you've already performed these songs as part of some live streaming that you did last spring, right?
Yeah. So yeah, we did this for, initially we did it for Nugs. Well, originally we were just going to do it, you know,
right.
And we were just going to stream it. And, you know, I built a studio a couple years ago here where I live in Glendale. And one of the ideas was to, like, because we are in so many different places all the time as a group, that it might be good for us to, like, let people see us more often by just streaming stuff out of the studio. Right. Yeah. And so I equipped it with cameras and all that stuff. And then our manager, Jared, was like, well, why don't we try to, like, get someone to put it out, you know, and help us, you know, whatever, monetize the thing, or, you know, like, get it out there instead of us just saying on Instagram, well, hey, we're doing it, you know. whatever. So they came on as a partner, and then we did the session, and it was really fun. So it was kind of a, you know, it started as something that kind of homespun and then kind of turned into something else.
It was Get a Job, music from the original broadcast series Soul Dream.
That's right.
And these are your soul dreams in many ways, right? These are the band's collective soul dreams. How did you guys decide to put the set lists together for each of the nights? And then how did that translate into the final thing that we have now, the best of, sort of?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the stream, which I believe was three streams, or was it three or four? I'm not sure, but
according to this, it says four. Yeah.
We kind of wanted to do like everything, you know, we wanted to have a document in a controlled environment live of everything with the current, you know, in our current state. So we did a bunch of stuff from our first record. And then we did a bunch of stuff from Como Day All-Stars, which never really got to see because we released it and then the pandemic started. So we did, that was a set. And then there was a set that was primarily like Prestige recordings, which was sort of our inspiration. And then there was covers, I believe a covers set or more of a vocal set. And I think what happened is we've been playing these songs on this record live for 25 years, you know? And so it was like, well, and every time we go into the studio to make a record, we would want to write new material, right? We don't want to play our old material. We want to write new material and stay excited about music in the present. And then we ended up, so this time was more for the fans. Like, let's just do these tunes. Let's do them, you know, as a document to people and sort of as a gift to the fans of who we are, and not have to listen to board tapes all the time or whatever shows up on the internet, but actually something that we can say we're proud of this and give it to them, you know. So that's kind of how it came about.
Because these songs have been, and I'm talking specifically about the covers, because yeah, these songs have either been in your consciousness as individuals, but also as bands and set lists, mm-hmm, it probably doesn't take a ton of practice for you guys to get up there and play Walk On By or play Taxman by George Harrison. I mean, these are songs that you guys know by rote, right?
I mean, we kind of, at this point, our repertoire is, we're not a big practicing band, you know. We just went on that tour, the East Coast tour. We didn't practice at all. We just played, you know. And everybody's doing their own thing. We're playing music all the time individually. So when we come together, it's more just like, you know, we're just celebrating what we know. And, you know, at some point we'll get together and write more stuff, you know.
That's an interesting question, because I would imagine at this point over the last 25 years, you've built quite a repertoire of either live stuff that's never appeared on an album or covers or just new stuff that you're always working on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, is it getting the guys together, because all of you guys are all busy with your own individual projects, getting the guys together to do this sort of thing, pandemic notwithstanding, must have been exciting, because you don't always get to see each other.
Yeah, I think, you know, and it's getting, you know, kind of more and more as time goes on. But I think we're trying to work our way back to more shows every year and kind of like getting into sort of our, you know, the last third of our lives, spending more time together, making more music together, touring more and just enjoying each other's, you know, musical company. You know, but it is difficult. It really is sort of like, God, how is this ever going to happen? And then, you know, and then it does, and it's great. And then it reminds us like, oh yeah, we have to prioritize this too, because this is important for us.
I'm curious from a guitarist standpoint, you know, these songs are funky. They are very Hammond B and bass and rhythm forward. Mm-hmm. How do you find your voice in these tunes? I mean, some of them are obvious because they are based on guitar licks, yeah, you know, but generally, how do you find your voice amongst, you know, Robert, who's an amazing player, obviously, and, yeah, and just the sound of the organ is so loud. How do you find your place so that you can be heard?
Yeah, well, you know, you ever since the very beginning of joining this band, I always considered myself a rhythm guitar player. I'm not like looking to get on the cover of Guitar Player magazine or you know, shred this or that. You know, I'm there for pocket support and I'm there for enthusiasm, and I'm there as a writer. You know, I'm there as you know, I like to solo, that's cool, you know, but like, it's kind of like, God, what's the percussionist doing right now? And then you take them out and you're like, oh, right, that's what they're doing. You know, I'm sort of more in the world of like a percussion guitar player or a tonal color that helps shape the thing from being just a single sound, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, these guys definitely, both Robert and Carl have a very, they're, you know, very sort of, they're iconic in this world that we're in, you know? And I guess I play more of a support role, just almost also by default that I haven't been around at all because I've been focusing on more of my movie stuff, you know?
But when you have an opportunity to do some riffing in Lady Day and John Coltrane, or even in Taxman, or some of the other songs on the record, I mean, mm-hmm. that's your chance to sort of step up and, sure. and show and strut your stuff, right? I mean, that must be exciting for you to hear that back.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I like it all. I'm not like waiting for my, it's like a conversation. I'm not waiting to speak. I'm trying to listen, you know? So if... Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I like playing a solo. Like, you know what I mean? It's
yeah.
It's, I just like playing music, you know. I'm primarily a blues guitar player, you know. My favorite guitar players are, you know, like, you know, Cheese Martin and Boogaloo Joe Jones and, you know, Grant Green, you know, as a rhythm player and like a person of like economy, like, you know,
right.
His solos are very economical, you know, they're not exercises in, you're not athletic, you know?
Right.
So
right.
I feel like, yeah, I love to, yeah. I mean, it's fun, you know, laying shapes over rhythms is great. I love it. You know, it's all good.
How is it being out on the road again with these guys? You've done a bunch of dates already. I mean, is it just like riding a bike? Is it just like tying your shoes? Is it just that simple to get back on stage and play with these guys?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, it always takes us maybe like a half a set to kind of like get up on our feet. But yeah, I mean, it's cool. I think as we get older, it's this kind of music gets better with as we get older, you know, because we're not. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting. I guess when we first started playing it, we were so excited about the genre that we sort of came at it with a lot of like enthusiasm and almost like excitement that wasn't entirely appropriate to the genre, mm-hmm. you know? And now that we're getting older and we're relaxed and we're confident, it lends itself to like a better interpretation of the music.
It must be cool too, to be able to introduce not only your own music, but music that's informed the decisions that you guys have made as a band, mm-hmm. to do listeners and to this community that you're a part of, that, you know, may not have grown up listening to this music, mm-hmm. or even listening to you. But 25 years later, you must see parents in the crowd with their kids. Like that must be a trip for you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I had a guy contact me the other day and was like, you know, my son was there at the show. You know, he was right in front of me, he's taking pictures. He sent me some pictures. He's like, you know, my son was there. He loves it. He's a guitar player. He's super, you know what I mean? And it is cool. You know, like I can remember just going back when I first met DJ Greyboy, who put the band together. And he sort of, you know, and I had heard these records before sort of in clubs and this and that, but like just sitting in front of his record collection and being turned on to tune after tune after tune of these wonderful, you know, this funky sort of like jazzy stuff that I had not, you know, growing up in Southern California, it wasn't really something that I was exposed to. So yeah, just continuing to introduce people to this genre and spread the sort of gospel of what this stuff is really, you know, part of our life's purpose, you know.
When you decide to cover a song like Taxman, which is an iconic Beatles tune, mm-hmm. And it's George Harrison on guitar, obviously, you know, you obviously want to make it your own, but stay true to the original. And I think, you know, it's faster and looser, obviously. It's kind of like Liverpool meets, I don't know, Southern rock to a certain way, or like Muscle Shoals, you know,
sure.
Like, how does that come through? And how do you decide, you know, who's going to take control of the conversation? Is it going to be Robert on the Hammond? Is it going to be you and your guitar volleying? Like, who takes sort of control of that and sets it up so that it stays true to the original, but sort of expands on what you're doing?
I mean, you know, for that tune, okay, well, that tune came about, just kind of depends on who's in the focus. Like, that tune came about because we did it for Robert's first solo record, right? So I was like, okay, right, this is Robert's record. Robert's going to play the head on it. You know, that was the one where Gary Bartz was also in the room. And I, you know, it's been really fun. Like, you know, just, I always like to flip a song anyway. That's just, whenever I do a cover, I don't want to do, there's, you know, the prototype already exists. I don't need to do that again in any form, in any genre of any kind, you know. I don't like to do a thing again that feels like cynical, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, it was Robert's record. And again, I'm there for support. I can take the solo and sort of lick around it, you know? Everyone knows it. It's one of the most iconic melodies, solo melodies ever. So yeah, it's like, I don't have to say it. I can kind of say it. And everyone knows what it is. It's almost like a melody that's so consonant that everyone can sing a harmony to it. You just leave it alone. You don't put this obvious harmony on it. You know, you let people sing it in their car.
I'm glad you mentioned Gary Bartz, because you guys cover I've Known Rivers, which is originally inspired by a Langston Hughes poem. And obviously it was important for you guys to put it on this record, I guess, because of your relationship with Gary and because it's a great tune. Is that why it appears here? Because he was sort of part of the growth of this band and so influential in the sound
we played that song with him a few times. You know, he came out and played with us live. One of the very memorable times was at Blue Note, when we played the Blue Note with him and we played this song, and it was just, he's such an incredible spirit. And he, you know, I remember, you know, him playing on Robert's first record when we first got together. That was basically, you know, we made West Coast Boogaloo, and then we immediately made Robert's solo record, right, which, you know, the idea of the Grey Boy All-Stars was that we were the All-Stars of the Grey Boy label, and everyone was going to make records, right? So we made the Grey Boy All-Stars record, then we made Robert's record, then we made Carl's record.
Yeah.
And then it kind of went off the rails. For a number of reasons, for a few years, right? And so Gary coming on with on Robert's record really kind of was a beacon for us, because it was like the way he played, once again, the economy of his melodic ideas. He was so inspiring to all of us, you know, specifically Carl. I remember him sitting out in front on, because we recorded it at Grey Boy's house. We had a recording set up there, and Carl and he were out in the patio just kind of playing together. And Carl's, you know, he really kind of like did a little click to Carl, where Carl was like, whoa, okay, this guy's incredible. I can learn from this guy, you know? And Carl was already incredible in his own right. You know, it just shows you can always learn from people wherever, whatever stage you're in, you know, of your musicianship.
The other cover that I really like is, and I mentioned it off the top, was Walk On By. Mm. And it's not new for people like Kenny Burrell or George Benson or Grant Green to do these covers, to you know, poke at, you know, whether it's the Beatles or Bacharach or whatever the pop tune of the day was. Do you guys ever think about poking at current pop tunes, you know, whether it's, and that's, I couldn't even give you an example off the top of my head, but is that something that you consider, or is it really about staying in the pocket where you're most comfortable and, you know, relying on these 60s and 70s tunes that
I've thought about that. You know, it just depends. You know, nowadays the whole cover thing is, it's like, and it was back then too. It's a money grab, you know.
Right.
It's a like, oh, let me do this so that people, it's fashionable right now. Bacharach, super fashionable, right? The Dionne Warwick record's number one. We're gonna play, you know, we're gonna, this record's gonna turn up it's a way of feeding the audience something that they're familiar with, right?
Right.
A jazz setting, because those guys were playing jazz, and then they're like, okay, so for, I know, you know, those of you who brought your friends that hate jazz, here's a tune they know, kind of a thing, right?
Right, right.
But in this context, it's different because it's, we're playing, it serves a lot of purposes for us. To answer your question, tell me the new tune that has an amazing melody that we should cover.
Yeah, like I said,
I like new music, but the melodic content is not what it used to be.
Right, right. I mean, there aren't so many Burt Bacharachs or George Harrisons or you know, John Lennons out there, right? So it's impossible to even consider those sorts of things, I guess. What is the plan moving forward with Grey Boy? Because it seems like since the pandemic, since you re-released Uptown Boogaloo and Komodo All-Stars, mm-hmm. there's been this refreshing kind of situation for the band and wanting to get out there again. Mm-hmm. And you have this tour. What else is sort of planned or can you even speak to that?
You know, we have this tour we're going to do, and then Robert and Carl take off on tours with kind of like bigger folks, and I'll probably work on something.
Yeah.
and we'll probably get back together in the fall, do some shows and probably do some recording. You know, it's an ongoing thing. It's been going up and down for a long time. And, you know, like I said, we're trying to do between 25 and 40 shows a year and work our way back up into the mix. And I think we're really excited about making new recordings. And now that I have my studio, which is, we've always made our records at my studio for the most part.
Yeah.
But the facility is much, much more expansive now. So it's much, much more comfortable. We'll see. I think there's a lot of talk of certain things that we might do in the future musically. And I think everybody's excited to get together and kind of like figure out what that is.
Well, it's awfully nice of you guys to let Carl go off and play with that up and coming band, the Rolling Stones, you know, to let obviously Robert do his solo things or his stuff that he's in so many different projects. What are you up to? I mean, are you constantly working on soundtracks and stuff, TV and movie?
You know, I'm working on different stuff. I make records with different people and I work on movies and different things. You know, I have a movie that's coming out actually on April 1st called The Bubble, which is a new Judd Apatow movie. That was really a lot of work. It was a big orchestral score. And then I collaborated with Andrew Bird on some of it. I'm open to like working with different people. I've got a lot of friends that I've sort of been promising to make records with for a while. So I'll probably do some of that this summer. But I've been working really, really hard through the pandemic. And I've mainly been sort of taking time off actually to just kind of like be healthy and be with my family.
Are you the go-to guy now for Judd's sort of, you know, I know that you worked on King of Staten Island. Are you sort of one of the players that he calls upon now to work on his films?
You know, I've been working with him since he started. You know, I worked with him on Freaks and Geeks. I worked with him on Bridesmaids. I worked with him on Walk Hard. I've worked, you know, if you look up my IMDb, I've been in the mix with him for a long time. He's all these guys are, it depends on the project. I don't expect anything out of anybody, you know? So I'm just like, I'm open to whatever the universe has to come to me and ask me for, you know.
It seems though that you do work with, whether it's Paul Fagg or you worked on the, you know, Ali Wong special, you seem to sort of have that pocket of rom-com or comedy is sort of where you've lay your head.
Yeah. You know, it's weird. I think what ended up happening is I started out. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, like,
right.
I don't have any control over who calls me. You know, I think that I started out in two lanes, you know, with Darko and Freaks and Geeks. And one of them was successful for the creator, and one of them was not so successful. And so even though my music, I mean, I consider myself a pretty diverse musician. I think that, you know, people want to be associated with success in the film business. And so I'm associated with successful romantic comedies and comedies in general, R-rated comedies specifically. And so maybe having me attached to that is makes them feel successful, or their potential for the success of the movie is higher. You know, it's a weird business. You know, I've worked on a lot of smaller stuff too. That's not that you don't think about. That's not romantic comedy oriented, but it's just not, it doesn't like top, it's not top five movie. So, you know, people don't talk about it.
Right. Well, thanks for doing this today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Sure.
Obviously been a huge fan for a long time. And I, cool. It's amazing that you have, you know, these two careers that are symbiotic, but not symbiotic. And it's just really cool to get a chance to talk to you. So thanks for taking the time, dude. Yeah. Continued success.
Thank you. And we'll talk
to you down the road. All right.
Awesome. Thanks again for having me. Be well. Take care.
For more than just our chat, including tour dates, visit greyboyallstars.com. Before we leave you, let's listen to another track off of Get a Job. Here are the Grey Boy All-Stars with I've Got Reasons.
I got it.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.